Today's daf is Menachis Daf Pei Bav, and we will begin from the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Pei He Amid Beis. Zok the Mishnah, Takoya Alpha L'Shemen. The best oil available in Eretz Yisrael came from a place called Takoya. Abishal Loim Abishal says Shniela. The second base place was Regev, which was not in Eretz Yisrael, but rather was Be'ever HaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan River. Really, you can take oil from all Aratzos. Ela mikan hayimavim. But l'katchila, you should take it from Takoya, which is Alpha, and Regev, which is, I guess, better. But the point is that you want to take from either Takoya or from Regev. This is obviously for oil that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, oil was used in the Beis HaMikdash primarily for the Menachos. That's what we're talking about right now. Additionally, for the Menorah, we'll see more about that later. We're not allowed to take oil from olives that grow in a field that is fertilized. Or from olives that grow in a field that relies on irrigation. Or from olives that grow in a field where other things are planted. So if things are planted in between the olive trees, that would disqualify those olives to now be pressed and use its oil for the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. Vim Hevi, stating that, b'di'eved, all the aforementioned oils are kosher. Imavian and piknoin. So the Rishonim have different gersois in exactly how to pronounce this word, but we'll go with the girsa and piknoin, which we'll see later means unripened olives. The imhevi, b'di'eved kosher. Imavian, menagargarin, shadashu b'mayim. You're not allowed to take oil from olives that were soaked in water. V'loy menakfashim, or from olives that were pickled. V'loy menashlukim, or from olives that were cooked. V'imhevi, b'di'eved, pasal. Zach the Gemara. The Mishnah began, takoya alfa l'shemen, that the best oil, the best olive oil in Eretz Yisrael came from a city called Takoya. The pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yoav Takoya, vayikach misham isha chachama." So the context over there is Yoav is trying to broker peace between Avshalom and his father David HaMelech. So he calls for a very wise woman. And where did this woman live? She lived in Yoav, in Takoya, and she's going to come now and she's going to consult so that she can try to help navigate this process. Says the Gemara, Maishna Takoya. Why did Yoav go to Takoya Dafka to find this Isha Chachama? I'm Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Yechon said, Mitoichsha Regilim B'Shemen Zayas. It's because we said that Takoya was Alpha L'Shemen. There was very good olive oil in the city of Takoya, and as a result, Chachma Metsuya Behen. The people in Takoya were wiser than ordinary people. As a result, it wasn't a coincidence that Yoav went to Takoya to find this Isha, but rather it was because there was so much olive oil. It's for that reason, Chachma Metsuya Behem. It's of course based on the Gemara in Hori Daf Yud Gimel. We'll see more about that later. Tan Rabbanon V'Toyv B'Shem in Ragli. The pasuk says regarding Asher. This pasuk is in Parshas V'Zoyis HaBracha. The pasuk says Ulo Asher Amar Baruch Mi Banim Asher Yehi Ritzui Echav V'Toyv B'Shem in Ragli. Asher is going to have so much oil that he's going to be able to bathe his feet, v'toivo b'shemen ragloi, not in water, but rather in oil. Says the Gemara, Zechelke shal Asher, shemoy sheikh shemen kamayim. There was so much oil that it literally ran like a mayim. Amru, it is said, pamachas nitzruchu lahem anshe lutki b'shemen. The people that live in Lutki needed oil. Miru lahem pul mustasecha, so they hired a broker. Amru, they told him, leich v'havei lanu shemen, b'meyer riboy. Go buy for us 1,000,000 mana. 100 times 10,000, back of the envelope arithmetic, 1,000,000 mana, that's the weight of the oil. Halach li Yerushalayim, he went to Yerushalayim. Amrulay, they told him that we don't have this kind of oil in Yerushalayim. If you want such oil, lech letzor, go to the city of Tzor. Halach letzor, Amrulay, they told him, I'll be honest with you, Tzor can't facilitate this much oil. Lech le gush chalav. Go to the city Gush Chalav. Halach to Gush Chalav. He went to Gush Chalav, which, by the way, was Bechelkei Shal Asher. Amrulay, they told him, Lechel to Pliny. Go to Pliny. Lasada Halas. He lives, he works that field. You'll find him. Go speak to him. He can work it out for you. He's going to get you the oil that you need. So the Yid goes. Actually, he wasn't a Yid, Rashi says. This Oyvid Avay Dezorah goes, Umatzai, and he finds this person, Shayo Isaac Tachaz Esav. He was doing work underneath his olive tree. He was the farmer. He was in the field. Amru, so he told him, Yeshach Hashem, Meir, Riba, Yishani, Tzarech. Do you have this 1,000,000 mana of oil that I need? Amru, so he told him, Hamtin li, Achesayim alachti. Come back to me at the end of the day. I'm working right now, and then we'll talk. Him to Machasayim Elachtis. He waited until he finished his work. So this person took his kelim, put it in a bag, a sack, over his shoulder, and he started walking home. And as he's walking home, he was picking up stones, acting like a farmer. So he told him, because this person wasn't really getting the sense that he was sitting with such a gevir, someone that was able to satisfy this order that he has to make. This person's working this field, he's picking up the stones along the way, and he started sensing, I think the Jews were making fun of me. So he was an Eini Yehudi. He went to the Jews. He said, where can I get oil? Yerushalayim, to Tzur. They send him to Gush Cholav, Bechelkei Shalasher. He meets this farmer and this person who's schwitzing in the field. He's the one that's going to give him a million mana of oil. Says the Gemara, Kim Shagili Iroi, when he came to Sidi Atzilai, Shivcha Soi Kumkum Shal Kamen. He was greeted by his Shivcha. And she took out water, afterwards she took out a golden basin that was filled with oil, and he washed his hands and his feet from working in the field the entire day out of a basin that was made out of gold and not with water but rather with oil. He lived and he was a living embodiment of a kiyum of the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas V'zayis HaBracha Ula Asher Amar V'toivel B'Shem and Rak. It says the Gemara, also after they ate and drank, Madad L'Shem V'mei Ribay, he gave him his million mana of oil. Amar Leis, he told him, Klum at the Tzarech L'Yaisa. By the way, do you need any more? This is a good account. Amar Leis, he told him, Hein, he does, Elish Eli Damim, but I just don't have the money for it. Amar Leis, he told him, if you want, Likach, Kach, you can take it, Vani Eilich Imcha, I'll escort you, I'll take you home, and when you get home, you'll give me the money then. He took another 180,000 mana. Amru, it is said, in order to carry all this oil, so they needed a fleet. So it is said that they didn't leave over, not a horse, not a ferret, which is a mule, or a camel. They rented every car in Eretz Yisrael. When he came to his city, so the people of the city, they came out to meet this agent, this broker, and they were praising him for what a gvir he was. Amalem, so he told him, no, don't, I'm a balchayv. I'm not the person you should be praising. El lozeh shabayimi, he's the gvir. Shemad ali shemeh b'mei ribay. Not just that, v'ari noy shabi b'shmai nasa ribay. I owe him another 180,000. M'kayim ha'shen emar. And he said this story, this episode was a kiyum of the pasuk, a pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech said, Yesh mis asher ve'en kol. There are people that walk around as gvirim and really they don't have anything. Mis reishesh, then there are other people that everybody think is a nani, v'hai rav, and really he's a grace gvir. Right here, the agent, he looked like he's the grace gvir over here. In the meantime, somebody paid him a few shekels to go ahead and broker this deal, and not just that, he had to figure out where he was going to come up with another 180,000 money. Whereas this farmer, this person who was a pashta person, old school, worked in the field, worked his own business, didn't hire anybody, and he was obviously sitting on a hoin rav. So the agent was the Yesh mis asher ve'en kol. The farmer, the person that owned the oil, he was the misroishesh ve'hoin rav. Either way, before we go weiter, just one ha'ara. So we mentioned the pasuk ulo asher amar. Baruch mi banim asher, yehi ritzui echav, v'toivel b'shem in ragloi. And obviously the Gemara brought the pasuk for the end of the pasuk, that asher was toivel b'shem in ragloi. Why are we talking about shemen? Because the Mishnah is discussing the shemen that was used for the menachos, and that ideally alpha, the best shemen in Eretz Yisrael, came from a place called Takoya. Shniyala was regev be'ever ayardim, but it seems there was a lot of oil b'chelkei shalasher, and this was really a kiyum of this pasuk, v'toivel b'shem in ragloi. What's the beginning of the pasuk? Really, in this pasuk, there's three brachas. Baruch mi banim asher. Asher is going to be gebenched with good kids. Yehi ritzui echad. He's going to be beloved. He's going to be merutza. His brothers are going to like him. V'toivel b'shem in ragloi. And he's going to have ashiros. He's going to have a tremendous amount of oil. Shlomo Kluger in his Sefer Imre Shefer says a beautiful taich in the pasuk. And behektim and Eben Ezra in the end of Megillas Esther. We all know the very, very last pasuk in Megillas Esther. So Megillas Esther concludes, Ki marchei ha-Yehudi mishno le-melech ha-chashverosh. V'godel ha-Yehudim v'rotzui l'roiv echov. So this is the very last pasuk Megillas Esther, and it talks about Mordechai HaYehudi. He was Mishnah LeMelech HaChashverosh. He was the second in command. He was Gadol HaYehudim. V'ratzoi l'roi v'echad. Why l'roi v'echad? So the Gemara Masechtas Megillah says it was roi v'echad v'loi kol echad Megillah Tezayin Amadeis Melamed Shepirshim Mimenu Miktsas Sanhedrin. After the story of Purim, Mordechai became a Mishul Melech Achashverosh, and he became involved in politics. Askanos. Obviously, he was doing it for the Tzorich of Klal Yisrael, but this is Mordechai Yehudi, who was a member of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. And there were members of the Sanhedrin that felt that it was wrong, that Mordechai HaTzadik should not have left Beis Medrash, he should not have left his Avodas HaKodesh, and instead get involved in political affairs, even though it was for the interest of Klal Yisrael. As a result, Pirshon Mimenu Miktza Sanhedrin, thus he was Ratzui L'Roiv Echav, he wasn't Ratzui L'Kol Echav. But Eben Ezra explains the Pasuk, Kedarkoi, Al derech habshat, he says, "V'ratzu l'roiv echad ki ein yecholus ba'adam l'ratzus hakol b'avrkinos achim." He says Mordechai had too much going for him. He was Mishul Melech Achashverosh. He's Gadol Yehudim, Anshei Knesset HaGdoila. He's married to Esther Hamalka. There was just too much, and because he had too much going for him, it was inevitable, says Devin Ezra, that people were going to be jealous. And as a result, he was only ratzu l'roiv echad. It's not because of anything he did. No, he was right for becoming the Mishul Melech Achashverosh. But says Ibn Ezra, you want to know why he was Ratzu L'Roiv Echad and not L'Kol Echad? Because somebody who has what Mordechai HaTzadik has inevitably is going to have people that are going to detract him, people that are not going to be Matzachem by him. The reason is Pashit, simple, good old-fashioned kinnah. Thus, he was only Ratzu L'Roiv Echad. What came to mind was a tshuva from the Noida B'Yehuda that we always speak as. This is one of the most famous tshuvas in Noida B'Yehuda. It's in Yerideya Tinyana Simin Yud. It's famous because it's where the Neid Yehuda talks about hunting. So there was a great segvir that sent the Neid Yehuda Shaila. He told him that he owned hundreds of acres of forest, and he liked sometimes on a Sunday afternoon to go hunting. And he asked the Neid Yehuda if it's okay, and the Neid Yehuda told him, hunting, he says, whoever heard that a Yid goes hunting? He says, there's two people in the Torah that went hunting. Esav was a hunter and Nimrod was a hunter. He says, this kan Yiddish amaisa. So this is the part that's quoted in yeshivas, that even though it's not usher, but still, it's not a Yiddish thing. But the truth is, there's so much in this Tshuvas Noid of Yehuda beyond that well-known excerpt of it. But at the very end, the Noid of Yehuda tells the Yid as follows. He says, "Velule ahavasi l'hagvir ha'mufursim emidas tervis." Where it weren't the fact that I love you so much, someone that apparently was mufursim with midas tervis, "Le'yayisi mizdakek l'hoshev al shayla kazu." I would have never answered the shayla. Like the Noid B'Yehuda had to prioritize. He had a triage when it came to answering Shilas. He got Shilas from all over the world. There's always like an excuse, so to speak, why the Noid B'Yehuda picked certain Shilas to respond to. He says, really, I wouldn't have responded to the Shilas. In terms of priorities, I don't think this is top priority. Could you go hunting in your backyard? But at the same time, I felt that this was necessary. Why? Because I know that you and your family have a wonderful reputation. I have to protect your family. Because I am sure that you have soinim. You know why? Because they hate you. There have to be people that can't forget what you have. And as a result, that kinna brings to sinna, and I have to protect your family. And it's just, you're too vulnerable. And that's why I'm writing the Shaila. I don't think you should do it, because people are going to hear about it, and all it's going to do is it's going to ruin your wonderful reputation. That's the Eben Ezra. That Mordechai was guilt, what became subject to this sinna machmas kinna. Regardless, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, that's pshat in the pasuk. Ula asher amar, boner mi bark, Asher is going to have wonderful kids. V'toivel b'shem in ragloi, he's going to be a gevaldig gvir. But at the same time, he ritzui echad. He's not going to be only ratzu l'roiv echad like Mordechai. He's going to be ritzui echad. That's the bracha. The bracha is he's going to have so much, but at the same time, he's going to be ritzui echad. It's interesting that, so the first of the three brachas mentioned in this pasuk is baruch mi boner masher. If you take a look at Rashi Chumash, Rashi says, "Ro'isi b'sefri, ein locha b'chol ha-shvatim she'nizbarech b'banim ka'asher." There were no shvatim that had bracha with banim like Asher, says Rashi. But the ein yodeya ketzad, Sefri doesn't explain, and I don't know in what way Asher was nizbarech b'banim more than all the other shvatim. It's interesting because Rashi in the next line, literally, Toich Kedei Dibur, in the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe, not even Rebbe Yomairi. The next line says Rashi, Yehi Ritzoy Echav. What does that mean? Davar Achash, Shayu Benoisav Nois. His daughters were very beautiful. Vulusha Nema Vedivre Ayamim, Hu Avi Birzoyis, Shayu Benoisav Nesuois, Lekayhanim Gedoilim. Umelachim Hanim Shachim B'Shem Enzayis. Says Rashi, Mamish in the next line, that Asher was Ritzu Yechav. What does it mean he was Ritzu Yechav? Shayu b'nois of nois. He had very beautiful daughters. And the Kehanim Gedoilim, and the Melachim, when they came to choose a bride, they would take their wives from Chelkei Shel Asher. Pashit, you would think, maybe that's the Baruch Mibanam Asher. Rashi says, Eli Yodea Ketzad, I don't know what the Baruch Mibanam Asher is. Rashi says, Mamish, in the next breath, Shayu Benois of Nois. Maybe that was the Baruch Mibanam Asher. But either way, Rashi doesn't seem to be happy with that being what the Pasuk means when it says Baruch Mibanam Asher. But regardless, Asher, in addition to all the brachas, he also had this ma'ilo, shayu b'noisav, nesuos, the kaihanim, gedoilim, and malachim, hanim, shamachim, b'shechan, zayis. His edims were all malachim that were kaihanim, gedoilim. Why? It's a pashup shah, like Rashi says. Shayu b'noisav, nois. I'll tell you a classic meshachachma. And there's simcha on this pasuk, in parshas, v'zois ha-bracha, he says a different shah. He says, based on a tanud v'eliyo. The tanud v'eliyo is also dashing these psukim regarding Asher. So what's the next pasuk? Baruch Mibanam Asher Yiritzu Yechav Tehev B'Shem in Raglai. It's not finished. Barzel Unechoshes Min Olecha Uchiyamecha Davecha. It's a little bit of a hard pasuk. But the Tanit Ve'Elio teaches the pasuk as follows. What does it mean? Uchiyamecha Davecha Amru Chachamim Al B'Noisav Shel Asher Shehaskeina Kibisula. That the skeina was like a psula. In what way? Psula in Ladav. This week's parasha. Elo Chayisara. She was, when she was 100, she was like she was 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. Asher had this bracha in his family. Shehaskeina kibesula. Vahabesula ein ladamim. A besula doesn't have any dam sulim. Shenemar barzul and chayshes min alecha uchiyamecha davech. It's exactly how the Tanav El Yo Rabba is explaining the pasuk Ayin Sham. It's Perek Tes if you want to look it up. But says the Tanud Velio that Asher had a bracha that Benoisav Shel Asher was skena psula v'psula ein ladamim. In other words, they didn't have any bond. Says Remeir Simcha Yesh Loimar that that's the reason that the Kehanim Gedolim used to marry Dafka mi Benois Asher, because a Kohen Gadol has to be very careful not to become Tame. Tuma is very, very important. It was a very big Esek. You don't want the Kohen Gadol to ever become Tame. So innate sense, says Rameh Simcha, for the Kohen Gadol to marry Dafka mi Benois of Shel Asher. Why mi Benois of Shel Asher? Because they didn't have Dam Nida. Being that they didn't have Dam Nida, you're never going to run into issues of Safik Nida, Safik Tuma. Rameh Simcha says so many of the Safik Tuma issues that you find in Tuma Vetahira is Nida related. But being that they had the bracha uchiyam mecha davecha, it was a bracha seemingly, it's in the v'zayis ha-bracha, they were skena kipsula, there was no dam nida, if there was no dam nida, you're never going to run into suffix issues. That's why the Kohen Gadol would go out of his way, it was for that sense. But says Rameh Simcha, if that's the case, you can understand the beginning of the pasuk also. Baruch mi banam Asher. Asher needed a bracha, says Rameh Simcha, to be baruch. You know why he needed a bracha? Because the Gemara says in Masech Tis Ksuba Stav Yud, shekol isha shedamem merubin banel merubin, ukishem shesor yofali isa kach damem yofali isha. If they didn't have Dam Nida, so that's not a school for Puravu. So how are they going to have children? You know what the answer was? This bracha. Baruch mi banam Asher. At the same time that they were barzalu nechayshes min alecha uchiyamecha davecha, which means shaskeinu kipsula v'apsula in ladame, but at the same time they also had a bracha. They had baruch mi banam Asher. I'll just tell you one other ha'ara. I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, right here on this pasuk in his Sefer on Sefer Devarim. So he says that v'yesh lahoysef oyd be'inyan mashikay hanim gedolim nasu nashim ibnois asher dafka. So Meir Simcha said that maybe it was related to the fact that they didn't have nida, being that they didn't have nida, so there was no suffix in nida issues that would be a deterrent for the Kohen Gadol being able to do the avoda. So he goes al derech Meir Simcha, but he's just moisef noifach. He adds one beautiful knech, and that's based on a well-known ravid. We spoke about this ravid years ago, who brings from the Sefer Hamikut. Brichadosh brings it in Arichayim Simen Kuf Chaf Ches, who says a chiddush neiru lahalacha. He says that a koyein whose wife is a nida shouldn't duchen. The halacha is not like this. Sefer Hamkutzos, but the Ravid brings it, and the Brichadosh brings it, and the Chassam Sofer Netshuva discusses it. But the point is that this chiddush was is that if a koyein's wife is a nida, he shouldn't duchen. And the reason is because a nida midrabanan is metame ba'oil. And if that's the case, if the Kohen is living with his wife, that's a Nida, in the same oil, so he now is Tomei on some rabbinic level, and as a result, he's not supposed to duchen. I think the Chassam Sofer mentions it in the Tshuva in the context of why we don't duchen bezman hazeh. But regardless, Brichadosh brings it, and he says that nobody should be mafaris in this, because it's not a libud halacha, and then he says at the end, mutav shiu shoyging v'alyu mazidim, which sounds like he was masking to the chiddush of the Sefer Amikud Sois. He just said, it's not a libud hilchasa, so memeila, don't be mafaris in it. But regardless, regardless, that's this chiddush. So he says, if that's the case, it's gevaldik. The kohen gadol, who's living with his wife, if she's going to become a nida, now midrabanan, there's going to be an issue of tumas nida because of the tumas oil that he somehow got because of the fact that he's living in the same oil with his wife. So madach, the ravid brings it with regards to birchas koyanim. So kal v'chaymer ben benoisha kal v'chaymer. If you're discussing the kohen gadol who has to go in and do the avodah b'kedusha v'tahira, so if he's going to be living with a nida, you're going to run into issues of tumas oil. So says the Megadim Chadashim, Al Derech Ramei Simcha, maybe that's why the Kohen Gadol married Dafka B'Bnayis Asher, because B'Bnayis Asher was Chiyom Necha Davecha. As a result, they didn't have Dam Su'ah, they didn't have Dam Nida. It's like this, you don't have to worry about it. This is the first Ara. We will get back to some more Aras a little bit later. Hey, Mavia, let me base us all. So the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to take oil from olives that grow in a field that's fertilized. Faith in Gemara. Vatanya, we're going to the Brisa. Eim mevin am piknoin. Ve'im hevi pasol. So the Mishnah had said, Eim mevin am piknoin. It's the v'chulu, really, that the Gemara is going on. The Mishnah said, Eim mevin am piknoin. You're not allowed to take am piknoin, which the Gemara soon is going to explain means unripened olives. If the oil came from such an olive, it's not okay, like katchila, them heavy kasha. The Gemara's kasha is, here you see them heavy pasul, says the Gemara b'pnesha who's sraf. And the reason is, because being that the olive didn't fully ripen, so the oil that comes out of it is, it's just some discharge, but it's not really oil. Rav Yosef, like kasha, harab chiyah, harab shem bar rabbi, that it could be, it's true there's a steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, but it could be one was going like Rav Chiyah, the other was going like Rav Shimon bar Rabbi. The Gemara says Rav Chiyah Zorakle, because Rav Chiyah, if he would have such a olive, he would throw it away. Rav Shimon bar Rabbi, no, he would use oil from such an olive. Metabulbe, he would take his bread and he would dip it into it. The simonich, and a simon to remember which one of these tanoim, Rav Chiyah or Rav Shimon bar Rabbi, would use it or not, says the Gemara, Ashirim Mekamtsa. The Oysher very often is a Kamtsan. Rav Shimon bar Rabbi was Rav Yehuda Anasi's son. Rav Yehuda Anasi was an Oysher Muflik. Ashirim Mekamtsan. And as a result, says the Gemara, Rav Shimon bar Rabbi, who was the one that didn't want to throw it away, Rav Chiyah didn't have so much money, so yeah, he threw it away. But the Grace of Gvir, right? The rich get richer. So Rav Shimon bar Rabbi was Ashirim Mekamtsan. We'll get back to this. Shishach Adoshim B'Shemen Amar. That's, of course, a pasuk in Esther. May Shemen Amar. Rav Huna bar Chiyah Amar Stachta. It's referring to balsam oil. Rav Yerim bar Rabba Amar Shemen Zayi Shle Hevi Shlish. It's referring to shemen that comes from an oil that didn't grow yet a third. It's unripe. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer and piknun is shemen zayis shaloi hevi shlish. So an piknun is this shemen hamar. Why do people use it? And specifically, why did the women have to use it before they met with Achashverosh? Shemesher es aseir, because it removes hair, umaadin es abasar, and it causes the skin to glow. Ein mevi'in min agargarin shenashu b'mayim. Tanu rabbanan, shem ezayis kavush. If somebody has oil that came from ezayis that was pickled, shalik that was cooked, shari, it soaked in water, vishel shmarim, or it came from the sediment of olives, vishel reyach ra, or if it has a bad smell, lo yov, vim hevi pasal, bayi rabba, rabba klar, d'shayla, hikdisha ma. What's the halacha? If somebody is makdish these olives, you get malchus for being makdish a balmum or not? What's the shiloh? Even the pasuk balmum dami. If someone's makdish a behemoth that's a balmum, he gets malchus. So if somebody would take shemen, similar gemara and Shabbos stuff, from an olive that's pasul to be used as part of the mincha, now he's makdish it. Do we say that it's pasul in the balmum sense, and as a result, you get the lavin of balmum? Or you don't mean balmum ela bebehema. It's true, it's pasul, but the heft of a balmum is behema related. This is not considered a balmum. Says the Gemara, the halacha is teiko. So before we go weiter, just one more ha'ara, and that is that the Gemara mentioned that Reb Chiyah and Reb Shimon ben Rebbe had different minhagim as it related to unripened olives. Reb Chiyah was zarekle; he would get rid of it. He wouldn't use the oil, and it's based on Reb Chiyah's minhag that the Braisa says that ein mevi'in an piknun v'im hevi pasul, because nobody uses it. Reb Shimon ben Rebbe metavol be, he would use it. The simonich, and a good way to remember which one used it and which one didn't use it is ashirim mekamtsim. Pashat, the Gemara seems to be saying that the reason Reb Shimon ben Rebbe used it is because he was an usher and ashirim mekamtsim. Thus, Reb Shimon ben Rebbe used it. Reb Chiyah didn't use it, but really, it's shver. Reb Shimon ben Rebbe was a kamtsim. That's the pshat. The truth is, what would seem like a more reasonable pshat is Rav Shimon Barebi was Rav Yehuda Hanasi's son. And Rav Yehuda Hanasi, we know the Gemara says in Ksuvas Kuf Dalet that b'shas p'tirasa zokav eser etzba'isav, he lifted his 10 fingers and he said that despite all the wealth that he had, he wasn't nenem in the olam hazeh afilu ke'etzba ketana. So Kuvi Rav Shimon Barebi followed in his father's ways, and his father, Rav Yehuda Hanasi, despite his phenomenal wealth, but at the same time, he wasn't nene from his wealth. So I'm sure Rebbe wasn't either nene from his wealth. So maybe that's the reason that Fakir, he was metabel bay. The average person maybe wouldn't have, but Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe is following his father's minhag of precious. He wasn't nene min oil mazah, filo be'etz b'ktana. Ah, a parish would use it. What's the question? A parish would use it. Sounds like it's roi lachila. It's just a question. Would the man on the street use it? And Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe wasn't the man on the street. He was a parish. His father was literally was able to say Eidos b'shas p'tirasa that he was never nenem oil mazeh. So could be in that vein. So what came to mind was Tosfos and Masechtos Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara over there brings this week's parashas Toldos, and Rashi brings right at the beginning of parashas Toldos that Yaakov and Esav, Rebbe and Antoninus, and it is said, says the Gemara, Rashi quotes it, Avodah Zarah Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, that regarding Rebbe and Antoninus, shalei pasku me'al shulchanam, like chazeres, like kishus, like tznoim, like b'maysacham, like b'maysachshamav. So you walked into Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi's house, you invited over for dinner. It was set literally kederech shamalach amos Antoninus as well. Says Taisvis, Frank Taisvis, Akasha, what's going on? I forgot the Minon. She Rebbe loy nedim enoyel mazah, afilu b'etzpektano. Doesn't the Gemara say that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi said he wasn't nedim enoyel mazah, afilu b'etzpektano? And here you find that his table was literally set like a king. Says Taisvis, mikol makom oichle shulchanai hayu rabin. That it's true, he himself wasn't nena. But the oichle shulchanai, that's already a whole different story. See, he wasn't preparing the food for himself, he was preparing the food for the oichle shulchanai. What about his sons, Rebbe Shimon Bar Rebbe? Okay, so Mestam and his son were and he followed in his father's way. But I'll tell you something very interesting, and that is that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a Dover Chadash, on this Gemara right here, in his Agoyis Yaivitz, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, again, Tosfos asking a kasha. Tosfos has a steer between two Gemaras. The Gemara by the Zohar Yud Aleph says, regarding Rebbe, Shalai Pasuk Me'al Shulchanu, Lai Chazeres, Lai Kishas, Lai Tznoin, Lai B'Maisachamu, Lai B'Maisachshamu. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's table was literally the way kings set their table. Problem is, this is another Gemara, Ksubas Daf Kuf Dalet, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said b'shas p'tirasa that he wasn't nenem in oil mazeh, I feel the best b'ktana. It's a stira. Tais says it's not a stira. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi himself wasn't nenem. Oichle shulchanoi. That's already a whole nother story. A well-known Taisus. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden nirali, the leikasha midi. And this is something that if Rabbi Yaakov Emden didn't say, nobody could say. The masha amash loy nenem b'etz b'ktana. Kavanasa, he meant something else. What he meant to say was, is that had it Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, what was his legacy as far as Gadol Hador goes? He was a Nasi, there were many Nasim. What was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's legacy? He was the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah. Chiber HaMishnayas, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, V'kosvan, and he wrote them be'etzba oisav. He wrote them with his fingers. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, you know what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was trying to say? B'shas p'tir asay? He picked up his 10 fingers and he said, I gave over these 10 fingers to Klal Yisrael. I gave over my etzbois. I spent a life of writing Mishnayas so that there'll be a Teresh Va'peh because of Eis Lassus Lashem Eteru Teresach, like this Torah would have a Hemshach. We could not be learning Daf Yomi today if not Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's mysterious nefesh. And he did it with his assets by himself. And he says, I never took anything from it. I did it 100% b'chinam. I never asked for anything in return. And that's all that he was trying to say. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he wasn't trying to say he was never nenem oil mazeh. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's table was set like Antoninus' table. It was set for a feast, the way kings ate. What did he mean to say? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a whole drush. It's unbelievable. He says what he meant to say was something completely different. He meant to say that I gave over these 10 fingers and I was never nenef be'etzpektana. Why are you talking about it as etzpois? Why is etzpektana? What does etzpa have to do with anything? Etzpa, what does that have to do with taifa? He says nothing to do with it. That's a different point. He meant etzpois because he gave over his etzpois. I mean that he gave over his etzpois. That's what he was trying to say. That he did it b'chinam, he never took anything. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden's ma'ira, the obvious are. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was a oisher, muflik. He was a gvir. So what, he was going to charge people? Where was he going to charge people? So Rabbi Yaakov Emden clearly was being ma'ir of that. So he says, V'afilu she'efshir azadayim lehayo asher. Who says Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was an usher when he put together the Mishnayos? I mean that it's not muchach. So even though you're going to tell me, he was such an usher. Why is that such a godless? Who said he was an usher when he wrote the Mishnayos? Azoy zok Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So the truth is, we have a ma'ir makom on this. Was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi an usher when he wrote the Mishnayos?
No.
We have a Marimachim that we spoke at, could be, but a few times. And that is the Teres Chaim in Mesech the Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph. The Gemara over there says, a very well-known Gemara. V'amar Rabba Brei Derava, V'itema Rav Hila Brei Derav Vels. V'imais Moshe V'ad Rebbe, Lo Yimatzinu Teir V'gdul B'makam Echa. From Moshe Rabbeinu until Rebbe, there was no Teir V'gdul B'makam Echa. Then the Gemara asks from a whole bunch of different Tanoim and different people and Kairach, etc., etc. And the Gemara at the very end says, Amar Abba Barahav, Afani Yoimer. I have one more Godel to add to that list. Moshe Rabbeinu and Rebbe, who am I adding? Me, Moshe Rebbe, Vad Rav Ashi, Loi Matzino, Torah V'Gdul, B'Malkam Echad. So there were three Yidden that were Torah V'Gdul, B'Malkam Echad. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi. Says the Torah S'chayim, a Kadmon, Eger brings the Torah S'chayim. Says the Torah S'chayim, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and Rav Ashi have in common? They all contributed a chelik of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shavikzav. The Chamishei Chum Shei Torah. It's Teiras Moshe. Rav Yehuda Anasi wrote the Mishnah. Rav Ashi, together with Rav Nina, wrote the Gemara. Says the Teiras Chaim that in order to take upon such a project of writing Mishnah, Gemara, you had to be Torah V'Gdul V'Makam Echad. It wasn't enough to have Torah. Because the resources that were necessary to embark upon such a project required Gedulah. Rav Yehuda Anasi was qualified to write the Mishnah because he was Torah V'Gdul V'Makam Echad. Rav Ashi was able to write the Gemara. He was a Gadol, Avada. He was Torah, but he was also Gedulah. And it was necessary to have Torah and Gedulah V'Makam Echad. Otherwise, a project like this could never have been done. But Al Kopanim, the Teres Chaim is before the Rav Yehuda Anasi wasn't Oisha when he wrote the Mishnah. It was only because of his Ashirus. It was because of his Torah V'Gedulah B'Makam Echad. We have two Marmakomas. We have a Teres Chaim in Mesechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav, and a Hagois Yaivitz, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in Mesechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph. Incidentally, another very big Chiddush that comes out from this Rabbi Yaakov Emden is that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wrote the Mishnah. Truth is, the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi write the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Tzvi Erschayas and Rabbi Tzchias. There's actually a riot to this in the very next Gemara, we'll see. But Rabbi Tzvi Erschayas in many places says Rabbi Yehuda Anasi never wrote the Mishnah. He just put it together. He was mesader it. He has riots to this. But really, it wasn't written until years later. Bottom line is Avada, Rabbi Yaakov Emden's Pshat is predicated on Eser Etzbois, that he wrote it. That's the whole punchline. It was his fingers. It was Ksivas Yodai. Regardless, Zok the Mishnah Vaitish. Lisha, Zesim, Hein. There are three times that an olive tree is harvested. Ubahen, Shloisha, Shloisha, Shmon. And every time a Zayas is harvested, there are three grades of oil that are taken out of each one of these olives. And the Mishnah describes this in great detail. Zok the Mishnah, Hazayis HaRishon, the first harvest is Megar Gribresh Hazayis, is from olives that come from the very top of the tree. Rashi says that the top of the tree is the most exposed to the sun. As a result, it's the very top of the tree where the zeisim start ripening first. The koitesh, so the person that's making oil, would take those zeisim, he would crush them. V'noisim l'teich hasal, and he would take these crushed olives, he would put them into a basket. The reason he put them into a basket is baskets have holes in them, and the oil would drip through the holes. Rabbi Yehuda says, Sviva Sasal. He wouldn't put it on the bottom of the basket, but he would put it on the sides of the basket. Zer Rishon. The oil that came out from this, so all that was done so far is the olives were pressed and put into a basket, and oil was just oozing out of the bottom of the basket. That is the Rishon. This is the first grade, the first shlav of oil that's going to come from these days. Chaz Avatayim Bekar. Then he would take a beam, and he would press the olives a second time. It wasn't done with a beam, it was done with stones. Zesheni, oil would come from there. And that's the second grade. Chazavatachan. Then they would take the leftover olives and they would grind them. Zeshlishi. And that, from that oil that came from there, was the third. Harishan the menorah. The first oil was kosher to be used for the menorah. In other words, the second two cannot be used for the menorah. V'ashar l'menachas. Obviously, you can use the first for menachas also. But the point is that whereas you're only allowed to use that first oil that oozed out from the bottom of the basket for the menorah, as it relates to the menachas, you can use the first, you can use the second, you can even use the third. So this is from the first harvest of Zeisim. These are the olives that are the top of the tree closest to the sun. Hasheni, Megar Gribirei Shagag. This is from the part of the olive tree that was parallel to the roof of people people's houses. So it's not the top of the tree, but it's pretty high up. This was the second harvest. They ripened second. What would he do? The same thing he did with the first. First, the person that's making the oil would take the olives, he would press them, put them into a basket. Not on the bottom of the basket, but on the sides of the basket. That rishon. Oil would come out. That's the rishon. That's the first grade. Tell him that he would press it would have been Rabbi Yudai with stones. That's shady. That's the second grade. Chazar v'tachan v'tan. Then he would grind it. More oil would come out. Shlishi, a rishon l'menayra. You were able to use this rishon l'menayra, v'ashar l'menachas, and the rest for menachas. Shlishi, what about the third harvest? That's all the leftover, whatever's left. He would take it and he would put it into a vat. Now, the problem with the shlishi was it never really fully ripened on the tree. So now we're going to have to artificially, genetically modify it on some level to make sure that it's going to properly ripen before we make oil from it. So they would take it and put it in a vat, actually you lock it until it's spoiled a little bit. Then they would put it on top of the roof, koitesh, press it, not on the bottom of the basket, but rather on the side of the basket. Is that rishon? Any oil that came out, that was the rishon. Then they would press it with a bino yudayim babanu with stones. Shasheni chazav v'tachan. Then they would grind it v'tan zashlishi. Again, harishon l'menayra v'ashar l'menachas. So really, the process was the same. So every time olives were harvested, they would extract oil from it three times. The first time, they would press it, put it into a basket, like this on the bottom of the basket, the side of the basket, oil would ooze out. That oil was considered the purest oil. That was oil that had to be used for the menorah. Then they would take a beam, Rabbi Yehuda says stones, they would press it again, oil would come from it. The third time, they would take the leftover olives, they would grind it, and any oil that came out would be used as well. So again, the rishon had to be used for the menorah. All three were kosher to be used for the menorah. The Mishnah said that Hazayas HaRishon, the first harvest of olives, was Megargaroi Beroish Hazayas. And the Amiram weren't sure what the proper gears in the Mishnah was. Megargaroi Tanan or Megalgaloi Tanan. I didn't look at the but it's very often on such Gemaras that the Maratzach brings Rayas to his thesis that we just mentioned 12 seconds ago, that the Mishnah wasn't written by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but it was orally transmitted. All it was Masadar it. Because the Maratzchi has held that you find many Gemaras where the Amiram weren't sure about the proper Gersa of a Mishnah. Why weren't they sure? Open up the Mishnayas and you'll see. Vaisaisa wasn't written. It was all the Messiah, and that's why there was confusion. Now, Pasha Pshat, you would say, maybe there was a question in exactly how it was written. Was it written Megargaroi or was it written Megalgaloi? But the Maratzach wasn't okay with that, and he held that from the fact that the Gemara does this, Simchas Beis HaShayeva or Simchas Beis HaChashuva, Ketzad Ma'abrin, the fifth parak of Masechta Zeirvin, the Gemara is not sure, is it Ma'abrin with an Aleph or with an Ayin? Ayin Sham, some places the Maratzach makes this Hagar. Either way, that was the Shaila. Is the word Megargaroi or is the word Megalgaloi? Megargaroi means to be malakit, to harvest. Megalgaloi means to ripen, which would suggest they had to wait until it fully ripened before they took him off. Either way, it says the Gemara Tashma bring you a Raya from a Braisa. The Braisa, apparently, the Amiram knew was properly vetted out. And in that Braisa, it's clear one way. How so? The Tanya, and this Braisa is a whole chazara of everything we just saw. Shem and Zayas Mizeisoi. The Shem and Zayas that was used for the menorah had to come directly from the Zayas. Mekan Amru. Zayas Rishoin Megalgaloi. This is why we're bringing the Braisa for that one word. It's not Megargaroi, it's Megalgaloi. Beresh HaZayas. For coins of the base about, they bring it to the base about. Petechna Berichayim. And they would grind it. V'noyis Naim Besalin. Shemana Yetzim Imeno Zahoy Rishoin. The oil that came out naturally, that's the Rishoin. Ta'an Bekoiro. Then they would use a beep. Shemana Yetzim Imeno Zahoy Shade. V'chazo Parak Tachan V'ta'an. Then they would grind it. And the oil that came from that, Zahoy Shlishi. Harishon L'menoira V'ashayal Menachas. The first grade for the menorah, the other two, even for menachas. V'chein zayis sheni, the same was done with the second harvest of zeisin. V'zayis shlishi had to be done a little bit differently. Oitnoi the beis habad. Here they had to bring it into the beis habad. They put it into a vat, actually locked until it's spoiled. U'malu l'reish hagag, they put it onto the roof. Oisa came in tamara. They made it like a tamara. Actually a zuvu meimav until its water started flowing. The coins of the beis habad, the toichonai berichayim, they would grind it. V'noisa v'salam, v'shem adayetz v'men azahoy rishon. Tom bekoira, then they press it with a then they would grind it. Rabbi Yehuda has a few haggars, two of which are mentioned in our Mishnah, a third one that he's going to mention right here, as far as how this process went. He says, number one, in the beginning, they weren't toichin it, right? That was one difference in the Braisa versus the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, when they took the Zesim off the tree. So the first thing they did was is they were kaitish. They pressed it with a mortar. And then after, or in a mortar, and then they would put it into a sow, and the oil would come out. The Braises said they were toichin it. That's how they got that first oil out. So Rabbi Yehuda here is commenting on the Braises, what we have in our Mishnah. Nah, toichnei berechayim, but rather, koichei b'machtashes. That's number one. Number two, v'layhayotayim b'kairet. This Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah, they never used the beam, el b'bottom, they always used stones. Number three, v'layhayotayim b'salim, they never put it on the bottom of the basket, el b'stach svivas esal, they put it on the sides of the basket. That Rabbi Yehuda also said in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks Akasha, haguf Akasha, koitesh, our Mishnah said that they were koitesh. They weren't toichin right at the beginning, they were koitesh. Who is that? Mani Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, toichasal, everything else in the Mishnah seems to be the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is commenting on the Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it wasn't on the bottom of the sal, it was on the side of the sal. They didn't use the kari, they used the Rabbanan. Us and the Rabbanan. So who's the time of the Mishnah? Is this not Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda, or is it the Rabbanan? The Gemara gives the obvious answer. No, the time of the Mishnah is the time of the Mishnah. It's not Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not the Rabbanan. He held like Rabbi Yehuda that they used a koitesh. They were koitesh it as opposed to being teichin it right in the beginning. But at the same time, he held that they used the kairah, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held they used avanim. He also held that they put it on the bottom of the sal, not like Rabbi Yehuda, who held that they put it on the side of the sal. The bottom line is, there are nine different oils, technically, that come from every olive tree. Because the tree was harvested three times, and every time they harvested the olives, they extracted oil from it three times. Now, that note, Zokta Mishnah. Harishoin sheberishoin in l'maylehe menu. The first oil that came out of the first olives that were harvested, that's the shpitz. Hasheni sheberishayin, the second oil that came from the first olives that were harvested, v'harishon shebersheni, you have to hold cup, and the first oil that came from the second set of olives that were harvested, shavim, they're equal. Hashlishi sheberishayin, the third oil that came from the first esim, v'hasheni shebersheni, and the second oil that came from the second, v'harishon shebershlishi, and the first oil that came from the shlishi shavim, hashlishi shebersheni, the third oil that came from the sheni, v'hasheni shebershlishi, it feels like you vomit, and the second oil that came from the shlishi shavim, hashlishi shebershlishi, the third oil that came from the third harvest, ein lamata heimenu. There, nobody dies. Ein l'mate menu, that's the most inferior. So the best oil is the rishon sheberishon. The worst oil is the shlishi sheberishlishi. We'll see now that there's chilukim, and we really saw it in the previous Mishnah, between the oil that was used for the menorah and the oil that was used for menachas. For the menorah, it had to be the rishon. It didn't matter if it was the rishon sheberishon, the rishon shebersheni. So the rishon sheberishon, the rishon shebersheni, the rishon sheberishlishi would cost it for the menorah. But the shenis and the shlishis of the respective harvests were not kosher for the menorah. So you see clearly that there's a higher standard of the grade of oil necessary for the menorah than for the menachas. And the Mishnah says that really, it should be just the opposite. Really, af kol menachas ayibidin shiitin rishem and zayazach. Why? Kav lechem. Ma menorah she'ena lachila. Tuna sheme ma dech menorah. That wasn't used lachila. It was just to light up the Beis HaMikdash. Required shem and zayazach. Menachas she'ena lachila. Ena din she'etan rishem and zayazach. Talmud loymer. So why is it not that way? It's exeris hakasav. Zach kasas lamar. Ve'en zach kasas lamenachas. Based on psukim, shem and zayach zach kasas lamar. It's only lamar that we require shem and zayazach. Zach Kosis, as opposed to the Menachis, do not require this. Zach the Gemara, Shavim. The Mishnah said that the Sheni Sheberishain and the Rishain Shebersheni are Shava. So the Gemara asks the obvious question: Va'amrit Rishain Lemenayra, Va'ashar Lemenachis. But didn't we say that you can use the Rishain Shebersheni for the Menayra, and you can't use the Sheni Sheberishain for the Menayra? What does that tell you? That tells you the Rishain Shebersheni is better than the Sheni Sheberishain. The Mishnah says that it's Shava. What does it mean when we say that it's Shava? It means from a Menachis perspective. And the point is as follows. The point is they're shava as far as the grade of oil goes. You want to know grade of oil? They're shava. Stating that, the Rishon is always going to have a Maila. The Maila that it's going to have is that it's going to be, number one, more Zach. And number two, it was never used with the Kairo, it was never ground. So from the Menorah's technical requirements, you always have to have Rishon. So you want to know which is better? They're equal. They're equal. They both cost the same amount of money. They're both as Chashev. But still, technically, they're not the same. And there's certain technical requirements that the oil of the Menorah
needed that the oil for the melachas didn't need. So the oil, the menorah, is always going to have to be a rishon based on its technical requirements. But at the same time, from a great perspective, the rishon shevet shadi and the shevet rishon are the same, and therefore, as it relates to menachas, there was no difference. You always want to use the best shevet for the mincha. It's all the same. Av kol menachas hayibet tanu rabbanon zach. It says regarding the menorah that the ato tetzaves bnei Yisrael. You all know this pasuk. The first pasuk of Ashes tetzave. The ikhu elecha shemen zayich zach. Kosis la'mar lahalis ner tamin. Zach the gemara brisa. Zach inli zach elonaki. It means it has to be pure. Yehuda Imer Yehuda says kosis and kosis elo katush. This is Rabbi Yehuda from Arman Aleph. That it had to be pressed. Yochel ye zoch kosis pasal menachas. I would think that only the menorah is allowed to be zoch and kosis. Maybe the oil used for the mincha is not allowed to be zoch and kosis. Tamal loymer the isara in soilus balu bashemen. It says clearly kosis. The isara in soilus balu bashemen kosis. Talking about the mincha, and it says as you see, it could be kosis. Okay, matam lemin lamar mitnei achisachoy. My chisachoy. Amar Rabbi Loza teira chas al menorah shal Yisrael. Avader you're allowed to use zoch and kosis for the mincha. The point is you don't have to use zach and kasef in the mincha. Why not? Because the mincha were brought very, very often. There were so many menachas. And the mincha, therefore, being that it was so shchiach, if you were going to have to use this type of oil, it would get very expensive. And atoyra chasam alayna shal Yisrael, and it's for that reason that the Chachamim said that it's okay not to use it. Meaning, maybe the katchila would be a nice thing to use it. But the point is, you don't have to use it. It's not the chachamim. This is on the biblical level. HaTorah chasa al-Mayim Shalizot. So where we have HaTorah chasa al-Mayim Shalizot recently? We had on the bottom of Daf Ayin Vav Amabez. The context over there was the Lechem Haponim. Do you have to buy the chitim? Could you buy Silas? So it was in that concept that Rabbi Shimon said a halacha, and which was explained by Rabbi Loza that atayru chasa al mamayim shal Yisrael. We spoke out raid then because there the Gemara brought a makar. So the Gemara very often will say atayru chasa al mamayim shal Yisrael and not bring a makar. But that's the one place in Shas where the Gemara brings up makar. The makar is v'shkisa es ha'eda v'es be'iram by the Meimer Riva. V'shkisa es ha'eda v'es be'iram, as if to say that the miracle of water coming out of a rock was going to help not only the people but also the behemoth. Why do we care about the behemoth? Oh, so we spoke at the time a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer and Chelek Zayin and a tshuva from Nevi Yehuda that is a steer, because Rashi many places in Shas Rashi brings a different makar. Rashi brings a makar from Nigei Batin. The halacha is that before the kohen would come and potentially declare a house to be a mitzayra, so the pasuk says we would tell the person take everything out. Now what are you taking out? You're taking out the kli cheres, because we're worried that maybe the bias is going to be tame. Kol hashev bias is going to end up them being tame. And klicheres has no mikveh tahira. So as a result, we say take out the klicheres. Rashi brings, you see from here, atayru chasa amumayna shal Yisrael. So the kasha, the Chassam Sofer, the Yehuda, and others ask, is the why does Rashi throughout Shas always say that? What's the makar atayru chasa amumayna shal Yisrael? Ufinu as bias. Why doesn't Rashi bring this Gemara Menachas Tavayim Vavim Beis? And then we flipped the question. We said, really, Rashi's Makar is a Mishnah. Mishnah Masechtas Nagam. So the Kasha is more on the Gemara, not on Rashi. Rashi's quoting a Mishnah. If you can quote a Gemara, you quote a Mishnah. Of course, you quote a Mishnah. If you don't know, you quote a Mishnah. So why are we quoting a Gemara, not a Mishnah? Regardless, if you take a look at Rashi right here, Rashi also brings Ufinu as Abayis. This is another Rashi. We mentioned Rashi in Rosh Hashanah of Zion. We mentioned Rashi in Yuma Lamites. And now we have a Rashi in Menachas Pei Vav, where Rashi quotes Ufino as habayis as the makar to atayru chasa al mamayna shal Yisrael. Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach. So we'll speak more about this in tomorrow's daf and Hashem. But this pasuk is very, very similar to the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Tetzava. Now this pasuk is in Parshas Emor. Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach kosis lamar lahalis ner tamim. I mean, it's almost verbatim the first pasuk of Parshas Tetzava. First pasuk of Parshas Tetzava is va'ata tetzava es b'nei Yisrael, and this pasuk is tzav es b'nei Yisrael. It's actually interesting. The Mefarshei Chumash actually are bothered why va'ata tetzava begins with the words va'ata tetzava. Tzav es b'nei Yisrael. That's a nusach you find in the Torah, and there's different pshatim. Well, nicely, you have to make sure all the pshatim shtim with the fact that there is a pasuk that says this. Here you have a beforeish pasuk that says Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach. Regardless, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Menachemeini elecha v'loyli. Hashem says Tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu elecha. It's elecha, it's for you, it's not for me. Chazosh Baruch Hu said, "Loi loi ra'an itzarach." You think I need it? I don't need it. I don't need the shulchan b'tzafim le'ir b'dar. And proof to the fact that I don't need the light is the fact that the shulchan is in tzafim and the menorah is in dar. Meaning, there would have been a half a minute to think that the reason there was a mitzvah to light the menorah is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells in the oil mayid. It's his house, Kavi Yochel. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs light. He needs light. And that's what Hashem is saying. Sabbath b'nei Yisrael v'yikhoi lecha. You're not doing it for me. I don't need your R. You're doing it for yourself. Proof is because if it was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wouldn't it make sense that the light should be next to the Shulchan? The Shulchan is the lechem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you usually, if you're sitting down to eat, and there's going to be a candle lit dinner, so the candles are going to be next to the food. Here you have one on Sof and one on Dar. That's the raya, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is not for me. Loyla achila anitzarech, v'loyla oira anitzarech. So the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'yas lebayis chaloynei shkufim atumim. And this is the pasuk of Malachim that describes the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash had windows, they were shkufim and they were atumim. Tana shkufim mibifnim, v'atumim mibichotz. They were white inside, and the outside they were narrow. Why? Again, to emphasize this point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need light to come in from the outside. That this is Eidos, the menorah was Eidos, that the Shechinah was Shayar B'Yisrael. And if you can tell me, no, that wasn't the point of the menorah. It's not Eidos L'Yisrael, Shechinah Shayar B'Yisrael. But rather, the purpose of the menorah is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the light. The 40 years they were in the Midbar. How'd they have Or? The Or came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So obviously that's not the tachlis of the menorah. Ela Eidos ulechabay yoylam, shashchina shayir b'Yisrael. Must be that it's Eidos. My Eidos. Where's the Eidos in the menorah? That the shchina is shayir b'Yisrael. On my ravos and ner maravi. It's referring to the ner maravi. She noisnem ba shemen keneged chavoyseh. They would put the same amount of oil in the ner maravi as they did in the other neros. U'mimeno hayomadlik, u'ba hayomisayim. So it was a miracle with the ner maravi that it would burn longer than all the other neros. Which ner was the ner maravi? That's a huge discussion in the Rishonim. Which ner it physically was. What exactly this line means, u'mimeno hayomadlik, u'ba hayomisayim, is also a big discussion in the Rishonim. The sugyas of menorah are actually coming up. That's coming in the next few days and towards the end of the Masechta. We're already holding by the end of the Masechta. So we're going to come to a lot of Gemaras that talk about the menorah. So we'll have opportunity again to talk about the ner maravi. But if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that the ner maravi meant one of two things. The ner maravi was always the first one that was lit, and it was the last one that would remain lit. So there was always a small miracle related to the ner maravi. But Rashi says sometimes it was even a bigger miracle, because sometimes in the morning when the kohen would come to be made to Vesaneiros, he would find that the ner maravi was still lit. He wouldn't extinguish it, and he would let it light as long as it had a light. And he would come back later at night, Bein Rabbayim, to light the menorah, and it would still be lit. So either it would just light a little bit longer, it's like that one Chanukah that doesn't extinguish, that's it's a flakitzich, that's one, and that sometimes would happen. But alternatively, says Rashi, sometimes it was even a bigger miracle. The miracle was it would literally light straight through the day, regardless. Some raid to speak about this Gemara, we left out some raid regarding Shem and Zayas. Metz Shem and tomorrow's stuff.